Hi, I'm Mike Maloney, and welcome to another CSRM podcast. Today's episode is hosted by Dr. Greg Linville.
So what would it look like then if we were to pursue humility? What would maybe some fruit of that be? A couple ideas, and I do want to unpack these and get into a little bit of scripture here in a minute. But as you can see, as you think about Christ's living this out, you can see where some of these are come from. Well, your posture with God is going to change, right? Even how you pray, even how you relate, it's like, Lord, okay, here I am. Send me. What should I do? Lord, I'm waiting on you. You tell me sort of what it is that I need to do today. All right, Lord, I'm going to empty myself today of me, of what I think is important and what I think I need to do. What do you want? Lord, lead me. I want to walk by your Spirit. I want to be filled by your Spirit. I want to know where you're leading me. Your posture with your neighbor changes, even as you consider them as more important than you, as Paul was saying. That you would even think, all right, again, not my will, not my agenda. Lord, how do you want me to love my neighbor today? And I use neighbor in quotes because I mean everyone else that's in your world, as Jesus taught us. I think your leadership changes, how you make decisions. I think your ministry changes and what you call success and what you pursue. To unpack that a little bit, you guys can go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we'll read a couple verses in there. I want to tell you this story. It's been another passage that's helped me illustrate this a little bit more. And although this passage isn't really about humility per se and the pursuit of humility, I think it highlights many of the things that we're talking about here today. So in this story, this is right after God has allowed Israel to have a king, right? So for many years, he said, hey, you don't want a king, you don't want a king, you don't want a king, you don't know what you're asking, you don't want a king. And of course, Israel's like, give us a king. We know better. And so he writes and names Saul, right, their king. Saul's a good-looking dude. You can hold it for a little bit. We won't get quite there. So Saul's a good-looking dude. I think probably and he's got lots of talent, comes from a good family, right? He's probably somebody all of us would look at and think, yeah, he would be a great choice to be a king. And God gives him a mission and says, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the Amalekites, and I want you to destroy everything. I want you to kill, and this is one of those passages kind of tough, man, woman, child, everything, animals, everything. Don't take anything for yourself. I want you to utterly destroy it because of how they went against my people when we were coming out of Egypt. That's your mission, Saul. And Saul's, okay, that's good. So he goes and does most of that. He does some of the first part, but they go, you know what? These sheep, they're pretty good, right? Goats are good. King, we should capture the king because that looks good for us as Israel, right? To have the king of another nation, right? That makes sense. Let's take these animals and sacrifice them to God as an act of worship. Like, that would be something that he would probably like, right? So let's do that. Let's go our own way. Let's come up with a different plan. And in that, we see that Samuel, through God sends Samuel, his prophet, to confront him in that. And here's what he says in verse 16. He says, then Samuel said to Saul, stop. I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night. And he said to him, speak. And Samuel said, though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to catch this. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission which the Lord sent me. I brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So much here to think about. Even Saul thinks he's obeyed God, right? I did it, right? I did my part. It was the people that took the sheep. They did it. not me. And then we pick up in verse 22, and these are some powerful verses for us today. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption or arrogance is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Strong words from God. But God is not concerned with our own plans or with our own thoughts. And he's a just God. And he's God. He knows what should be done. And he gave a very specific instruction. And the pride of Saul in this story led him away from the Lord. His lack of dependence on God led him away from being in a, put him in a place of disobedience. And where he thought he was even worshiping, God says, "I don't delight in sacrifice. I delight in your obedience that comes through humility of understanding. You can do nothing apart from me. I'm the one. I'm the power that can actually make change and who allowed you to win that battle in Amalek." And so we see here how much Saul's reliance upon himself and his independence from the father put him in a place where he was no longer in really a right relationship with God at that time. So going back even to that fruit of humility, as we talked about that in our posture with God, it will lead to obedience and to wisdom. As we are abiding in Christ and as we are seeking him in his word and as we're praying and asking the Father, that will lead to obedience. And obedience and wisdom will produce peace because we can know we're doing what our Father has asked us to do. There's no guilt in that. I'm being obedient. It's a great thing to be obedient. It's actually a freeing thing to be obedient to the Father, not a limiting thing. We get that wrong so many times. As you think about our posture with others, again, we consider them as more important. Even in this story, we can see Saul said, "Hey, they're the ones who took that." But we would go, "You know what? No, God said that I need to do this. I've got to confront my nation here, the people that I'm asked to lead, and I've got to say something hard to them." It's like, no, we can't do that. I won't let us do that because that was the mission that God gave for me. And I think our leadership changes. This is something that's been recent for me as I think about leading from a place of humility and pursuing humility and even thinking about what God cares about in that. That really does change a lot of things about how I lead. I think it would change who we promote in our ministries. I think it would change what we train on. And I think especially in the U.S., we can get so caught up in the world's definition of leadership, which is look good, great resume, lots of talent, well-spoken, you know, can speak in front of people, like all these things, and we go, yes, that's great. And as I think about the Bible and I think about the people that God promoted, I don't know if Moses or David's or Paul's resume, if they came across my desk, if I would promote any of those people. But yeah, God saw their obedient, humble, submissive heart and said, their character and said, yes, this is someone that I can use because they trust me. They depend on me. It's not about them. It's not about their kingdom. It's not about their influence. It's not about what they're doing. It's about my kingdom. And I, just like Christ, he said, I'm not here to do my will. I'm here to do the will of my Father. And in that, we see just how different kingdom leadership is versus our worldly definition that's so easy for us to get lost in. And that's something I've been convicted about recently over and over again, is putting pause, you know, on all those kind of character traits and other things that I think, you know, in our sort of Western minds we can get really caught up in and think are more important even than character and humility and obedience as we think about them walking with the Lord. So that would change what even our ministry as we think about pursuing humility together. And for us, this has been huge because we've been challenged recently on what we celebrate and what we're accomplishing as a ministry. And unfortunately, that's been because of the last few years of COVID. You know, in 2019, you would have looked at our ministry at Campbell American and thought, wow, God must really like them, right? They've got 10,000 kids that come through their summer camp. They hire 300 college students. They just celebrated their 30th year. They're in four sites. They've got overnight camps. There's, you know, financially doing well. Everything's good. And now 2 years later, we can't hire anybody to come work our staff. We're half as large as we were back then. And it's really causing us to challenge our definition of success. Because we look back then and thought, again, and we were, I'm not saying we weren't being obedient back then, but we thought we were doing good just because our numbers were good. And God doesn't look at those things. He says, no, I need you to depend on me. And so now in trying to depend on him and pray to him, I mean, we've been praying every day for staff as a minister. The first time probably I can remember that every day we do anything for work, we get together and pray and just say, okay, Lord, you've got to do a work. It's not us. We know that. Again, as I was joking with somebody earlier, we get it, right? Thank you for the lesson. We get it. Now, could you send us 100 more people? That would be awesome. And guess what God has done in and through us through our pursuit of humility and dependence on him? We love him more. We trust him more. Guess what he hasn't done through our pursuit of humility and dependence? Solved all of our problems. That's been a really weird thing for us. Because a lot of times we think, if I just pray, God's going to do the thing. And God is not concerned with the outcomes as much as he is your heart and your trust and your dependence on him. He wants you, and he wants us. Okay, now that I'm empty, Lord, you fill me. You do what you need to do every day. Not me, empty myself. Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do? You tell me what successful is. And as you read the Bible and you read the scriptures, you look at Jeremiah and you look at Nehemiah and all these prophets who faithfully preached the word and faithfully followed God and really never saw anything good happen in their life. Were they failures? For us, that's challenged us. We have to say, no, they weren't failures. They were obedient. They were humble. They submitted. That's success. God's in charge of the details and in charge of the numbers and in charge of the outcomes. And I know we want to be efficient and faithful in all of those things and pursue those things, but we want to do that at rest and at peace, going, all right, Lord, you've made us a certain way. You've given us tasks. You've given us something to do. We want to be faithful in doing that. You're in charge of where this goes. We're not. This is not our vision. This is your vision. This is your kingdom. You're the king. We're citizens. You tell us what to do. So application, if I just say from here, a couple things I'd love for you guys to think about. I would just say, find a way to study the humility of Christ, whether it's through books, but honestly just through his word, that you would read and study really the life of Christ and his leadership, full of service, came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. That is his way. It's a humble way. It's not glorious. It's actually really messy, and it costs us our lives. Pray for a heart of humility and repent and confess where necessary. And a subpoint of that, build the habit of surrendering every day to Christ, if you're not already. Just so we talked about, wake up and go, all right, Lord, this is what I think I need to do. I'm going to empty myself. What would you have me do today? Where would you have me go? And ultimately, as we were talking about at the beginning, that joy and that rest and that fulfillment and all those things we hope for are found in him. He promises that. He says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. He does promise. His joy. He said, it's there. Just abide in me. That's what I want you to do. And my joy is yours. Full. You can have it. To be used by him. Yeah. Be obedient. I will use you in my kingdom. You are my child. He will do that. So I'd love to in a minute. I'm just going to pray for you all to that end. I'd love for you just to take just a couple of minutes of just reflection, whatever you feel like you need to do before the Lord, just whether it's write something down that's on your mind or pray or just sort of go before the Lord and think about those things. But let me pray for you all. We'll do that for a couple minutes and then I think we'll close with one more song, okay? Lord, we thank you for your word. And Jesus, we thank you that you humbled yourself. Only because of you can we know God again. Can we be reconciled with you? We thank you for your humility. It is our salvation. You have made a way for us because of that. Pray that you would continue to lay it on our hearts that we would go before you and empty ourselves daily to die to self, to follow you, that we'd be empowered by you through that. Your yoke is easy, your burden is light, and you are going to accomplish what you need to accomplish in this world. It is not up to us. It's not up to me. I pray that you would work in and through each of us to that end, that we would be used by you, that we would be obedient to you. Would you convict us of our pride in every area that we come to? Would you do it gently, and would you allow us to follow you more closely and love you more because of it? We thank you for what you've done. We thank you that we can worship you freely because of what you've done. We ask that you would continue to do a work in us, remind us of the life that you lived.
The CSRM Podcast is a production of CSRM and their production house, Overwhelming Victory. Dr. Greg Lindell is the executive producer, and Scott Stedman is the associate producer and editor. To learn more about CSRM, visit csrm.org. For more information about Overwhelming Victory, visit overwhelmingvictory.org. The CSRM Podcast is the flagship member of the podcast network Overwhelming Victory Radio. For more information on Overwhelming Victory Radio, or to listen to our partner podcasts, visit overwhelmingvictory.org/OV Radio. For CSRM Podcasts, I'm Mike Maloney. Have a blessed day.